First Kings chapter number 3 in your Bibles this morning. First Kings chapter number 3. We'll be reading two verses, verses number 26 and 27. I will begin reading in verse number 26, and if you would join me on verse number 27, let's go ahead and stand. First Kings chapter number 3, and I will read verse number 26. The Bible says, "Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for this time set aside during the week that we can meet and hear the preaching of your word. And we thank you for it, and we ask that you would bless it, Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit would meet with us, Father. We ask that you would speak to hearts. We ask that you would bless this special and use it in a mighty way. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Appreciate that. I want you to notice that last phrase in verse number 27 we read with Brother Luke a moment ago. Brother Bragg is in St. Louis with his family. His mother turned 60 years of age, I think, today. And all the kids came in and they were celebrating, and he asked if he could be there this morning. Absolutely, that's vital. And so Luke was able to read the scripture for us today. But I want you to look at that last phrase of verse 27. She is the mother. She is the mother. That's what I want to speak on this morning. I don't feel pressure to preach a Mother's Day message, but if in my Bible reading or meditating and praying, waiting on God for direction for a message, if God gives me a text, if God gives me a Bible principle, then I don't mind preaching it on Mother's Day, and I want to do that this morning, a sermon entitled She is the mother. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful today for the opportunity to recognize moms. This is a special day, and it's a good special day. This is not a wasted day. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to express our appreciation, our love for our moms. Father, help me to be a blessing today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take the message and across the board apply it, both male and female, adults and children, because your Spirit has that potential, that power. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will lead, guide, and direct in what we say, what I say this morning, and that all of us may hear the message you have for us from this passage. In Jesus' name, and amen. How in the world do you successfully define a mother's love? How do you do that? What would you use as a visual aid? What would you use as an example to define a mother's love for her children? Or how about this question? How many poets, how many writers have taken pen and paper and attempted to define or describe a mother's love? How many have done that over the years? Well, the number is in the hundreds, maybe even the thousands. But men and women continue to make attempt after attempt after attempt to capture a mother's love in words. And you know, the same thing could be said about those who take pictures, photographers who, you know, they try to catch the moment. The moment that speaks, that because, you know, was Eastman Kodak said, a picture is worth a thousand words? Somebody said that. I don't know if it was Eastman Kodak or somebody. They try to catch that moment, the moment that speaks volumes about a mother's love. But they are still taking pictures to try to do that. And it seems that love is the most often mentioned characteristic of mothers. Many moms are good cooks. And I still think the fastest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. But being a good cook isn't what captivates people. You know, it captivates them. Not about cooking. Moms can be a seamstress and make clothes and provide clothing for the family, but I doubt being a seamstress captivates people. But mom's love does. Mom's love captivates people. For those whose mothers are gone, that's probably what you miss the most. They may have been outspoken, they may have been quiet, they may have been full of expression, or they may have been expressionless, but it doesn't matter. Mom loved you. And you knew mom loved you. Once in a while, it's interesting to get around somebody whose mother has been gone. And even if his mom's been gone or her mom's been gone for some number of years, you know, when you start talking about mom, there's still that little water in the eye. There's still that little gathering of tear in the corner. Because mom speaks of love. And for those of us whose moms are still living, you know, we get to continue to enjoy all the benefits of mom's love. And I'll say this to those of us whose mothers are living, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because there are days, who knows, when you get that phone call, when I get that phone call. I'm looking forward to my parents coming up in a few days to be at Cherith's graduation. And thankfully, they got the health. They can travel again and be here. It'll be good to see. I talked to her this morning already. Told her I love her. Said I only have one mom and one wife. And I love you with all of my heart. Mom's love. Now, we see a mother's love on display here in our passage this morning. For sake of time, we did not read the entire story, but let me give it to you quickly, okay? So if you just listen, I can give you the whole context of the setting of this passage of Scripture here. Solomon has just been crowned as the new king of Israel. He's followed his father David as on the throne there. And miraculously, God came to Solomon as a new king, and he said, Solomon, he said, what do you want? He said, whatever you want, whatever you ask for is what I'm going to give you. Now, if we were given that opportunity from God, I wonder what you and I would ask for. That red Corvette, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. But you know what Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. And he didn't ask for riches, and he didn't ask for wealth. He said, God, I need wisdom because I am the king over this night, so great a people, the nation of Israel, and I want to lead them properly and be the right kind of king, so would you please give me wisdom? And God was so pleased with Solomon's request for wisdom that he gave Solomon wisdom. God told him, there never has been one as wise as you before you, and there will never be one wise as you after you. I am giving you more wisdom than I am giving anybody. And God was so pleased with Solomon's request that he said, because you didn't ask me for wealth and money and riches, I'm going to give you that too. And by the way, Solomon became a very wealthy man. But he didn't get it because he asked for it. He got it because God gave it to him. Now, It wasn't long after Solomon asked for God's wisdom that Solomon's wisdom was tested. Because in this story, two women come to see Solomon. One baby. One has a baby in her arms. One's arms are empty. And the mother's arms that are empty begins to speak and says, King, a few days ago I gave birth to a son. And 3 days later, this woman that lives with me, and we live in the same place, she gave birth to a son. And she was careless in the night, and she laid on top of her child, and her child died, suffocated. And in the night when I was sleeping, she rose up and she took my son, put her dead son away. She took my son. Now she claims that this boy that she's carrying in her arms is her son. It's my son. And the lady with the baby in her arm says, no, this is my son. And the other lady with the empty arm says, no, that's not your son, it's my son. And back and forth they go in front of King Solomon. And look at verse number 24 right there. It's in your text. And the king said, bring me a sword. What's he need a sword for? Now, you and I know the story, but can you imagine these two women? Can you imagine the people who were gathered in the palace? He said he asked for a sword. And so they bring this sword into King Solomon. Look at verse number 25. And the king said, divide the living child in two, give half to the one and half to the other. So take that child, cut it in half, give half to each mother. Can you imagine it? You say, what a horrible and cruel thing to do. No, not really. Because in verse number 26, immediately the mother of that child spoke and said, oh, don't kill that baby. Don't kill that child. Give it to her. And you know what Solomon said? He said, you take the baby and you give it to the lady that spoke up. She is the mother. She is the mother. And that's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this morning from this text. I want to use that little phrase, she is the mother, and say three things about this lady and about you mothers who are here this morning. Let me say, first of all, she is the mother because she protected her child. She protected her child. Her child's life was at stake. And rather than her child die, she would just give him away to protect his life. Now, you know what that is, folks? This is an inborn, natural, maternal, protective instinct that comes along with being a mother. And you and I see it in the world of nature, not just the human being world, but in the animal kingdom. I remember, you know, when I was a little boy, my dad and mom took us three of us boys, dad and mom, in a 1963 Volkswagen Beetle. Tom got the rumble seat. He was small enough in those days. Remember the rumble seat and the old Beetles used to have one? Okay. And the engine was in the back and the compartment for the luggage was in the front. And that's how old this is. You know, we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, in the Smoky Mountains, you know, from Atlanta there. And we went through Cage Cove and the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and we saw a black bear. And I always thought, you know, if I have children of my own someday, I want to take my kids to Cage Cove. And some years ago, I forget what reason, we were down in Tennessee, probably on a vacation trip, and we went to Cage Cove and drove through there. And I can remember, you know, all the cars started stopping, and I knew what was going on, and I'm not sure the kids did right away. I said, what's going on? What's going on? Somebody said, a bear. People were running by the van, running out of the car, running by our vehicle. A bear, a bear. And then I heard somebody say, it's a mother and two cubs. And I said, whoa. And our kids stopped. I said, sorry, you're not going up there. Because I know how a mother sow is with her two cubs. There's lots of videos online. If you ever go on the bear hunt, you don't want to watch them. You can watch mother come in with her cubs to the bait. And boy, mothers will come up trees when they sense their cubs are in danger. I remember watching a video some years ago. It was in one of those towns in Alaska, and a cow moose and her calf came into the town. A cow moose and her little bitty calf. And this poor elderly old man was walking on the sidewalk, and he made some unexpected move that spooked the cow moose, and she stomped him. I think to death. She stomped him. She got him down with her paws, and then she got on top of him and just stomped him because she thought that he was going to do something to harm her little calf. You see, that's an inborn trait of nature, and human being moms are the same way. They're protective by nature. It wasn't long that we came here. We were here almost for a year, and then we moved out to the place where we've lived now for the past 24 years. And not long after we moved out there, a family in the church gave us a dog. And that was a good thing to have, you know. It's always a good thing to have a dog if you have a real dog. You got one of these little things, just an imitation dog. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real dog, okay? One that eats leftovers off the table. You know what I'm talking about. And so anyway, we were out there, and so some friends from Iowa stopped by. Terry and Rex and Terry Hamm stopped by. They were in town. They stopped by to see us, friends from Iowa. And we're all standing around the island in the kitchen. And that guy is about maybe, I don't know, 2 years of age, two and a half, maybe 2 years of age, a little boy, you know. And, you know, we're all standing around the island just talking. I think they were getting ready to leave. And somebody looked out the bay window in the kitchen, and here was a car stopped on the road, and here was an elderly lady, had him by the hand and was walking him off the road into our driveway. And what had happened was the dog had gone out in the road, and he had followed the dog into the road, and a car came over that little hill right there, and thank the Lord they weren't going fast. And she said, you know, I saw the dog. I slowed down for the dog. I didn't see the boy. But then she saw the dog first and slowed down. That boy, when we realized what was happening, that woman right there, that mother, you ladies thought she ran fast yesterday? That woman, poof, she flew out the kitchen, flew out the door, flew through the garage. I mean, I'm lumbering behind like some oaf. I mean, you know, I should be able to outrun my wife. Uh-uh. There's two places you can't outrun your wife. That's at the store. And when their child is in danger. And Jessica, I don't know who to thank for saving your future husband's life. But boy, I mean, poof, out the door. Because there's that protective instinct, that maternal instinct that God gives a mother. She is the mother. So that's part of a mother's nature. Now, moms, let me say this to you this morning. Because that's a part of your nature, you have to be careful that you don't allow that protective instinct to go overboard. You'll be tempted to overprotect. Your little boy needs to bleed. He needs to scrape himself. He needs to scratch his knees. He needs to scratch his elbows. He needs to fall off of his bike without a helmet. He needs to crash. And he needs to get hit by a ball. And he needs to strike out. And he needs to fumble. And he needs to get hit with a, you know, I don't know. He needs to bleed. Boys, I don't know if girls need to bleed so much, but boys need to bleed. You don't want a little Lord Fauntleroy in your home. But if you're not careful, It's an instinct that you can let go overboard and protect them from hurt, protect them from losing a game. You know, today we don't have losers because, oh man, that just makes them feel too bad if they lose. They need to know what it is to lose. They need to know. They need to know. You protect them from all risk when they get older. You protect them from injustices, you know. I don't go looking. We didn't go looking for our children to get treated wrongly. But they're going to get treated wrongly. No child goes through life without being wrongly treated at some point or the other. That's life. Everybody in this room, from one side to the other, from front to back and upstairs, has been treated wrongly to some degree. And to try to protect your kid from all injustices is only going to make them think that life is going to create a fantasy world. Don't protect them from injustices. Those things happen. Don't protect them from getting help when they have done wrong. You're afraid of ruining the reputation or the testimony of the child when what that child needs is not protecting his or her testimony. What that child needs is help. So don't overprotect. It is a God-given, innate, inborn, maternal instinct. Why are mothers that way? Because they are the mother thereof. She is the mother thereof. Now, one way you do protect them when they're growing up, not only from physical harm, and don't overprotect, but you want to protect them from sin and wrong as much as you can. Protect them from sin and wrong. I remember years ago. And there was a family here, no longer here, and they had a daughter, and the daughter was a little bit loose. And it was in the early days of texting and all that stuff. And the family here in the church had some boys growing up in the home. And the girl sent a suggestive text or something, a suggestive note to the boy growing up in the home. And the mother found out about it, the mother of the boy. And the mother of the boy cornered the girl somewhere in this auditorium or in the old auditorium. I can't remember how long ago it happened. But she cornered that teenage girl and she said, "If you ever make contact with my son again, I will claw your eyeballs out." Now, you know, maybe she could have put it a little nicer, but I like the idea. I like the idea. And it's the kind of protection that mothers, it's just inborn in you. You're maternal. And you've got this instinct of protecting your children. And that's what this lady said. "Don't kill him. Give him away." She protected. Why did she do that? Because she is the mother. She is the mother because she protected her child. Number two, she is the mother because she put her child's interest first. Let me ask you a question. She said, "Give this child away." Would it not bring her pain and sorrow to see her child go live with somebody else? Wouldn't that be hard on her? Wouldn't that cause her distress and anxiety and just, you know, continued worry if she gave her child away? Yes, it would cause all of those things in the mother's heart. But if she didn't give him away, he would have died because the other one said, "That's a good idea to cut him up. Better for him to live and she suffer than for her son to die." There's a reason mom fills her plate last and sometimes gets the least portion. She's the mother. There's a reason the kids' clothes are purchased first while mom wears clothes that she's had for years and years. She's the mother. There's a reason she tries to earn a little extra income for the kids to go to Christian school or gives up a portion of her day to teach her kids at home. There's a reason she does that. She is the mother. There's a reason she loses sleep trying to get her child to go back to sleep. She is the mother. And a mother always puts their child's interests above their own. That's what she did in this case. You know, I'm not going to go into great detail about my story. Most of you who've been coming to church here over the years know that I was saved at age 18. At age 18, my life was a wreck. I won't go into the details. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I got my mother a card, and in that card it talked about the disappointments that go along sometimes with rearing children, and I apologized to her in my written part of the card, "Mom, I'm so sorry I caused you such heartache for those 3 or 4 years, and I can only hope that maybe what God did in my life has made that better." And when I was 18, I was a mess, and I needed help, and my mom and dad loaded me up and took me to a Christian boys' ranch and dropped me off. Now, you know what? That was not, personally speaking, that was not in my mom's best interest. Personally. You know what that said? That said, "We need help." That said, "We can't really give our son what he needs." And not to be able to have any physical contact, even by phone, for the first 3 months, you can't call him. He can't call you for 3 months. To have every letter you write or he writes to you, to have those letters first read by the director of the home. To have to explain to family, "Where's Terry?" "He's at a boy's home." To have to explain to friends, "What happened to Terry?" "He's at a boy's home." To have to explain to people that you just meet, "We have 3 sons and two are at home with us, and we have a son in Tennessee at a boy's home." You know, I don't think that was very easy. But she was willing to put my interests above her own because she is the mother. She is the mother. And I'm so glad she did. I'm so glad she took the shame of that. I'm so glad she took the embarrassment of that. I'm so glad she took the difficulty of that, because it was at that place that I got saved, and a few months later, 8 or 9 months later, got called to preach. And you know what? Kids, listen very carefully. You probably don't even see all of what I am saying yet about your mom putting your best interests first. But your mom sacrifices over and over and over again so that your best interest can be put first, so that your best interest can be realized. And she does that because she is the mother. Mothers put their kids' interest first and theirs last. And that may be one reason, that may be just one reason why God tells kids to obey and honor their parents, is because God sees all the sacrifice, God sees all that moms do, God sees how much mom put kids first and themselves last, and God tells the kids, you obey mom and you honor mom, because nothing will make a mom's heart better, feel better, than to see her kids live right, behave right, and do right. Nothing. I want to make some money so I can help mom. I'm not against that, but more than mom needs to be helped by your income, she needs to be blessed by you living right. And that's up till age 18, seniors, and beyond. And beyond. Moms put their kids' best interest first. Why do they do that? Because they're the mother. That's what moms do. She is the mother because she protected her child. She protects her child because she is the mother. She put her child's interest first because she is the mother. And then let me say lastly, number three this morning, that she is the mother because she possessed the greatest kind of love. The greatest kind of love. Now let me ask you a question. You know, live the Bible when you read it. Try to put yourself there in that courtroom of that palace, that king's court there. Try to put yourself there. Do you hear these two women arguing over this child? Do you think that probably, that even possibly, Solomon had that thing figured out before he called for a sword? He could probably tell by the looks on their faces, by the countenance on their faces. No doubt he could tell by the distraught response of the one lady that, you know what, she's the mom. But if he just made a decision on his own, I think she's the mother, give her the baby. Rather than be criticized for his decision, he called for the sword. And when he called for the sword and did it the way he did it, he silenced any potential criticism of his decision. Now listen, to find out which one was the real mother, he could not watch the child's love. The child was too young. You with me? This child is an infant. Maybe 7 days old, 6 days old. He could not watch that infant's behavior to see which one was the mother. Now you take one of these little toddlers back here. These little kids, you know, put them in a little, and then put four women lined up before them, kind of like the police line up, you know. And that little toddler's going to go right to mama. In fact, the other night, Wednesday night after the service, Owen Harrison, I was in the hallway there talking to a bunch of people, and Owen Harrison, Sarah, and Owen were there. Ryan was somewhere else. He wasn't around. Somewhere else. He was at the church, but he wasn't around. And Zach Johnson was standing right there up against the wall, and Owen saw this pair of legs with trousers on it, and he walked right up to it and grabbed Zach's leg, and then he looked up. Then he let go. Nah, this ain't right. He's way too skinny. But an infant can't do that. You can't watch an infant's behavior and demeanor to tell. Now, you know, maybe the infant, I'm probably getting some mothers riled up. I believe my infant knows I'm probably getting some mothers riled up. But I don't think like a woman. I'm a man, okay? Don't hold that against me. Maybe the child knows. Okay, if I had this, but they can't. They have a hard time expressing it. Can we at least agree on that? They may know it, but they can't speak. Mommy! Not there yet. Okay? How could this child know the difference between the two women at this age? Maybe they knew it, but they couldn't express it. So Solomon had to figure which one was the real mother by who loved the child best. And you know what, folks? A mother starts loving her child long before the child can show love for his mother. Long before. One day the child will be able to demonstrate the love in their heart for their mother. Maybe a sloppy kiss on the cheek. Maybe a dandelion from the front yard. Mommy, I brought you a flower. Maybe a little picture drawn on a piece of construction paper. We have a picture downstairs that we've saved that Ben made when he was just a little fella. He has a picture of a female, a stick figure female, and a male figure, and they're kissing and a heart. And it said, "I caught Mom and Dad in a romance." I don't know where he ever got that. Little picture. I mean, I know where he got it, but I mean, I don't know. Yes, we kissed in front of our kids, but and now we kiss when they're not around, too. It's a blessing, amen? But anyway, let's get back to the sermon right here, right? Excuse me. Maybe an unexpected "I love you, Mommy" when you tuck them in bed. Ever had the unexpected "I love you, Mommy"? So the child can demonstrate love. But you know, those demonstrations of love come many, many days after Mom starts loving that child. When does Mom start loving that child? I think maybe when the doctor says, "You're going to have a baby." Maybe before that. And you have that nauseated feeling in the, I guess, in your stomach. I don't never had a baby. I don't know where it's at. But you got that little feeling down, and you know how things are, and before you ever go to see the doctor, you're loving that child. Dads can't. Grandma can't. But moms can. It's called being a mom. She is the mother. Because when the child could show no love for her, she showed great love for the child. Now, wait a minute. As the child grows older and begins to demonstrate the love that they have for their mom, is that not called reciprocated love? Kind of like they love mom because mom what? First loved them. And do you know, friend, that this woman in this story and her love is a picture of God's great love for you and me? God protects us when we cannot protect ourselves. God puts our interest first and His last. He did that when He gave us His Son to die on a cross to pay the sin debt that you and I could not pay. And God loves us first. If you and I have any measure of love in our hearts for God this morning, it did not originate with us. We love Him, 1 John 4:19, because He first loved us. That is divine love. That is God's love. That is unreciprocated, initial love, original love. Loving someone who cannot love you. And that's what happens with a mom. The moment she knows she's expecting, there is a tremendous amount of love that floods her soul for that little unborn child. And one day the child will reciprocate and say, "I love you," and do things that prove the love. But they only do that because they were loved first by a mom's great big heart. Friend, God is the same way. Now listen. Everybody in this room has experienced a mother's love to some degree. And I realize, and I'll just say this and move on, I realize the day and age in which we live, we have some sad, sad, sad stories in the world today. There are women who give birth to children and they have an unnatural relationship with that child. They're not a mother. And they don't do any of the things I talked about this morning. But in most cases, moms protect their kids. They put their kids first. They put their kids' interests first and not themselves. And they possess that original, initial, great love that someday will be reciprocated. Almost everybody in this room this morning has experienced the love of a mother to some degree. But I got a question for you. Have you experienced the full results of God's love for you? Have you? Well, yeah, I think God loves me. I know the Bible says that. Have you got a verse, for God so loved the world? Yes, He did. But you know what? It becomes a whole lot better when you make it personal. When it becomes your experience. And you experience and come under the blessing of the love of God in a particular way when you come to Jesus Christ and receive what Christ did on the cross for you to pay your sin debt. You receive what Christ did through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Christ died, was buried, and rose again to pay our sin debt. And Christ did that because He loved us. And when you and I come to God and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope of salvation, not the church, not ritual, not religion, not our parents' church history. No, no, no. When we come to God and trust Jesus Christ as His, as our personal Savior, we experience the love of God in a new and specific way. And we will, hopefully, grow to the point where we love God back to some degree. But friend, we only are able to do that because He loved us first. He loved us first. I want to say this morning again to all you moms, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Wish I could tell each one of you individually, from the oldest, whoever you are, to the youngest. Mom is a special, special person. And I only had time this morning to give you three things that pertain to this story. Why did she protect the child? Why did she put the child's interest first? Why did she love the child like no other? Because she is the mother. She's the mother. That says it all, doesn't it? Mom. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for our moms. And I know some in this room today, moms have been long gone. They still remember mom's love. For others in the room, mom still lives. We have the opportunity still today to enjoy the realities of a mother's love. Touch hearts this morning, God. Bless the mothers of Faith Baptist Church. Help us as we strive to rear godly families and have godly homes. I pray that You'll use mother's love in the home to do what only it can do. Bless the moms in this room today, on this Mother's Day. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you just please, with your eyes closed, just give me your attention with your ears. Listen carefully. I wonder if there's a mother here today who would say, Brother Angel, please pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Or maybe there's a child here today. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart. And that's why moms do what they do, because they're mothers. My life really hasn't been spent honoring and obeying my mother like it should be. And God spoke to my heart throughout this message in some way, shape, or form. As I was sitting and listening, the Spirit of God made a definite impact on my heart about something that was said. Pray for me as you close in just a moment. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Anybody else? I see a few hands. God bless you. That's wonderful. Somebody else? I appreciate that. You may take them down. Now let me ask this all-important question today. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I am saved. I am not sure that if I died, I would go to heaven. I don't have that assurance in my heart. I think I might. I hope to. I don't want to go to anywhere else. But I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. If that's you this morning, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, with nobody looking but me and the men standing at the front, would you just lift your hand up and let me pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand. By lifting your hand, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that here this morning, front to back, side to side? Anybody here this morning, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that I've experienced God's love through salvation like you talked about it. Anybody like that this morning? Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. And I need to obey the Lord in that matter. Would you slip your hand, please? Anybody like that this morning? Or if you know that you're going to join the church, you've spoken to one of us about it, God bless you. I see your hand on the matter of baptism. That's wonderful. If you want to obey the Lord, we're happy to help you today or talk about it with you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach from your word. Again, we thank you for our moms. Thankful for every mom here today. Lord, I pray that you'll bless them. And may we understand how much mothers protect us, put our interests first, and how much they love us. May, Lord, may we reciprocate that love. And God, thank you for loving us in the same way. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You ought to come this morning. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart. You raised your hand. Let me encourage you to come. Be it mom, be it dad, be it child, teenager, young person. You obey the Lord today. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would love to have the opportunity to put you with somebody that can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Or if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, whatever the need is, now's the time to come. While we wait this morning.